I just want to remind you again about the LC Live Reunion Tour. If you've not yet signed up, go to lifechurchreno.com and register. I'm super excited. If you hadn't heard, we've got these small live gatherings. First one happens this Tuesday night. We'll be outside in a great backyard, live worship, live preaching, a great hangout, and some food afterwards. We'll be doing the same thing in a backyard on Thursday night. We'll also be doing the same thing next Sunday night in the backyard. So really 3 nights a week, we have these outdoor gatherings, intimate, beautiful backyards where there's plenty of space to spread out, plenty of parking, neighbors not nearby, just a great environment, some live worship, live preaching, and a great hangout outside afterwards. Those are our outdoor gatherings, Tuesday night, Thursday night, and then Sunday night. And then we've also got these indoor gatherings at our campuses. That'll be happening on Sunday morning at South Campus and also at Midtown Campus, and then also on Wednesday night at Midtown. Now, the thing about the campus gatherings is we've got full children's ministry, not just childcare, full children's ministry for birth through fifth grade at our on-campus gatherings that are happening Sunday morning at South and Midtown, and then Wednesday night also at Midtown. And so here's the thing, you need to register. Space is limited. They're trying to abide by all the government guidelines and social distancing and all of that. You have to register for yourself and register for your kids. And when you do, you will sign up. You'll give us your t-shirt size. Not so we can profile you by body type, but so we can make sure that we have a t-shirt for you. So when you show up at your first gathering of LC Live, we'll have a t-shirt for everyone in your family. Church, I'm stoked for us to begin to have some live gatherings, live worship and live preaching, and begin to have some awesome kids ministry, and just to begin to be together the best that we can. I can't wait to be with you. Sign up, lifechurchreno.com.
Hello, Life Church. It's so good to be with you again, even if we're here a little bit at a distance. I know you're looking at me right now and saying, there's something different about Pastor Tom. You think I'm younger? I just shaved off the beard. Now, there's some bad news and there's some good news. The bad news is that this really is the best it ever is going to be. The good news is this is the worst it's ever going to be. So I guess we're all winning at that. So if you feel the necessity to judge the old one and the new one, I tried to find a slide of me with the beard and I couldn't find one. But I did find one I felt like was fairly representative of what I looked like during that period of my life. So here it is. And so there it was. I hope you all have been enjoying this series in Colossians as much as I have. We're going to continue on, and I'm just glad that you're with us. G.K. Chesterton said one time, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and not tried. In the letter to Colossians, Paul is wanting desperately to make sure that these believers know who they are. He's encouraging them to live positionally, if I can say it like that. They're functioning in this world, but they now hold a position in the next world. He desired that their lives begin to reflect the new, truer position than it did the one they had recently come from. It's out of the supremacy and the intensity of the kingdom of heaven that Paul was encouraging them to draw their strength and to draw their identity. Because of Jesus, their position in the world and in the next had radically changed. They were standing with Christ, and that potentially changed everything. When we received Jesus as our Savior, we have no idea of what we've been given. It will take our lives and then eternity to discover the depths of it. Our position has radically been altered. Like you and me, the Colossians lived out of a different spirit than the spirit that drives this world. A separation from their old life had taken place, and it was not meant to ever be put back together again. See, we're not just waiting for heaven. We're living within heaven's direct jurisdiction in this very moment. The Holy Spirit in our lives is not dormant, but it assures us that we can impact this world now from the resources of eternity. So turn with me to Colossians 3 and verse 1. We're going to read the first four verses, and then we'll come back and read 5 through 11. Verse 1, if then you have been raised, I know you're seeing I've got the big Bible this time. It has nothing to do with the size of the print. If then You have been raised with Christ. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. See, Pastor Dave talked about this last week, how we are completed in Jesus. No human being is what they're supposed to be without him. In being completed, though, we are also being transformed. Paul is concerned that the believers in Colossae understand this position that their faith has placed them in. Jesus has never been a stick-on in an already crowded bulletin board. He doesn't take second place. Because of Jesus, these believers no longer are who they were. The source and the core of their lives have taken on this revolutionary new perspective, and they've moved from the old life into this new situation. Their eternal position, like yours and mine, has permanently been altered, even though they're still inhabiting the here and now. Paul is inviting them to draw from their eternal position in order to flourish in the here and now. I one time heard this old preacher say, all of us long for the sweet by and by, but what about the nasty now and now? That's what Paul was concerned about. He knew that this new life was good in the nasty now and now. Christians have always been given direct access to a whole new orientation, a new creation, Paul calls it in other places. And that's what the Bible is really about. Receiving Jesus as Savior moves us from this dark administration into this brand new kingdom of light. That's Colossians 1. Accepting Jesus as Savior is the most transformative, it's the most revolutionary action any human being can ever take. Theologians talk about positional truth as opposed to experiential or sometimes conditional truth. Positional truths are truths that are set for eternity. They're never going to change. Jesus is God. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus rose from the dead. Heaven is real. As a believer, I am a child of God. Those are positional truths. See, but they also talk about what they call experiential truths. In other words, my experience is often different from the positional truth, what the positional truth says that it should be. Positional truths stand firm. They don't change. They're true, but most of us are not living out of them as God intended. There's this gap, and we're still living out of the old resources. Paul is inviting Colossians to shut the old down and begin living out of the provision of the cross and the resurrection and drawing from the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God in their lives. In Christ, our lives are transformed. When I say that our lives are transformed, I'm not just talking about going to heaven when you die. The perspective of the past, the present, and the future have all completely changed. The locus in my life has completely shifted, and that shift's given me influence and prestige in kingdom things. God is now my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. This new position gives the power to see everything from a different viewpoint than the world sees. We don't always access it and probably won't completely as long as we inhabit these bodies. But when we give God the initiative in our lives, he begins to rearrange our priorities and set our desires according to his own will. And if those provisions are accessed, a new life is experienced. Stepping away from that old position or stepping back to relive some of our old lives and to draw on old resources really is moving backwards for a believer. The new is a process, and Paul wants his readers to know that his new life is going to be a lot better than the old. He says, if I've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That is, in fact, our position. Secondly, positional living must be established in our minds. Paul says in verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. Where Where you set your mind has a lot to do with the success of your Christian walk. What you allow to walk around in your brain and the authorities from which you choose to inform yourself is going to have a huge impact on whether you live out of your new position or not. And Paul is very aware. Some people are so negative, so critical, so discouraging. They sap the life out of you. You know they're not drawing from an eternal source full of hope and full of love. They have no confidence. They see no light. There's only darkness. See, they've likely been filling their minds with some other place other than God's wellspring, and it's beginning to affect them. They're not realizing this bigger permanent picture that Paul's trying to communicate to the people of Colossae, and as he communicates to us. If we could take a long, honest look at ourselves and determine where we are extracting our strength, our advice, our focus, we might actually understand where we really are standing in our faith. Are there news sources and sites that you visit a lot more often than you do your Bible? Are your conversations more about politics or the economy or speculating about this virus than they are about the hope that we have in Christ? Have we granted ourselves permission to denigrate others because they hold a different party affiliation or are a different ethnic extraction or less educated? And I can do all of that without even so much as praying for their souls? Can I grant myself permission to dismiss a brother or a sister in Christ over non-eternal issues? An eternal reality. Our position in Christ is in heavenly places. But it seems in the current climate that everyone is at everyone else's throats. And Christians are sometimes the ones stirring it up. When hope is in our toolbox and we choose to pick up a rock and throw it instead, then we should admit that we might not be where we ought to be. In our momentary reality, we may not be living out of our true resources. I have a strong feeling that the world would be a lot better off with the Jesus I know than with my opinion about the coming election. See, I'm seated with Christ, who is seated with the Father in heavenly places, and many around us are not. You know, coronavirus almost becomes an allegory for life at this point. People living with the serious effects of the disease find themselves fighting for breath, the source of life. Here we are, the people with the spiritual oxygen, and we're giving them something other than what can save them. Paul addresses this in Ephesians 1, which he wrote that book at the same time he wrote Colossians, and addressing some of the same thinking. And he says that Christ is seated, raised far above all principalities, powers, seated with the Father, and that all authorities, everything is under his feet. It gives him the primary role in the universe. And then it goes on, and it's in chapter 2, it says, you and I are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that is our rightful place. We must get our position in Christ established in our minds. That's what Paul is saying, as our most significant point of identity. Nothing else is going to work in this world, and nothing else is going to go into eternity with me. So, sooner or later, if you're a believer, you're going to have to wrestle with this overwhelming idea that you really aren't who you used to be. Your head wants to tell you that little has changed, that you'll never get better, you'll never get free. But the Word of God says that you're sitting with Christ in heavenly places. That's the positional truth. If you are seated with Him, then all of the things that tried to control you, tried to subvert your faith and move you in another direction on this earth are not there. They just didn't make the cut into heaven. Another thing that Paul said was, consider yourself both dead and alive. He said, consider yourself dead to the old life and alive in the new. He said, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. in eternity, our true position is going to be really obvious. It's only now that we have the challenges. What isn't obvious now to many of us is that true position is already locked in place for us. Heaven's warehouse is part of who we are. Paul wants the Colossians to understand. He wrote in Romans 6 and 10, he said, "For the death he died, Jesus, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions." See, in order for that position to be available, Jesus died. But according to Paul, when we accept him, we died also in order then that his life might live in us. He said, consider yourselves. So that's a great word. It's like reckon, count, reason, decide, make this decision. It says, I've thought this through and I have decided that this part of me has died in Christ, but I have considered and I believe that I am alive. Our lives will reflect this new life and our old life can be put behind us because it's dead. Consider that. Consider that the old life has never provided you with very much. Its payoff has mostly been in the moment. It's been temporary. It's been addictive. It's been short-sighted. It will continue to be that way as long as we try to resurrect the old way of living and make it fit over this new life that we found in Christ. We're meant to draw from the new. We're equipped to draw from the new that, when activated, will cause us to reflect the image of our Creator. That's how the world sees Him. That's why the Holy Spirit has been assigned to live in you and in me continually from the point of faith. With all of God's provision and grace, He is there. We created the old life. Jesus created the new. Positional living will lead to holiness, Paul says. Earlier in the letter, Paul talks about a parody of the truth, the keeping of holy days, the adopting of high-minded behaviors, the eating the right foods, avoiding unapproved cuisine, and all kinds of other behaviors that have been passed off as holiness. Pastor Dave talked about this last week in his sermon. In that system, we remain uncertain whether we have pleased God unless we've been able to tick off our list of approved behaviors. In this mindset, God's approval is strictly regulated by our behaviors. By keeping the rules, we have a template that allows us to believe that somehow God has in fact accepted us. The way Paul was defining holiness feels a lot riskier, but it really isn't. Because in this new system, in this new position, we have to rely on the work of another. Jesus and His work at the cross, and that is permanent. As Pastor Dave said last week, it can never be Jesus plus anything. So holiness originates with God. It's communicated in and through people who are engaged in following after Him. Thomas Aquinas defined holiness as that virtue by which a man's mind applies itself and all its acts to God. So Paul, after saying behavior, those other behaviors won't get it, he begins to deal with some other behaviors. This was where we pick up Colossians 3 in verse 5. "But put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all." So what's Paul saying? Paul is urging these Colossians to make, obviously, a clean break with the old way of doing things. because of Jesus and his death and resurrection, and because he now has sent the Holy Spirit to inhabit us as believers, we have an entirely new way to approach God and to approach the world for that matter. In this new approach, we have a new security that our relationship is what enables and establishes our holiness. It is knowing Jesus that grows us in our personal sanctification, and it's not in a new set of rules. In Paul's list, the first four items concern sex and behavior around sex and the impact that it has on us outside of God's plan. A lot of people listening, reading in Colossae, recognize themselves in that list because that was the old worship style. The next are about wanting things that aren't ours. He says that's idolatry. And next, he deals with anger and its causes and its consequences. We've seen plenty of that now. Then he says to watch how you use your mouth. Maybe we ought to say how you use your keyboard. You know, don't slander or speak obscenely or lie to someone. That, he says, belongs to the old self. That's the old way of maneuvering society and relationships. He says, instead, be renewed, refreshed with the knowledge that you are created in the image of your Creator. That's what gives us life. And then he goes on to one more problem area. This new positional living is wiping out some distinctions that have stood as disruptive and destructive for generations. Verse 11, let me read it again. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, but barbarian and Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. See, the church at Colossae was made up of a hodgepodge of people. The Church of Jesus Christ really is the first and probably the only institution where people from all kinds of backgrounds, ethnic makeup, social standings, were beginning to mix as equals. This new positional living that he was encouraging them requires that those distinctions be erased. Jesus is the same to every one of them. The old way that people judged each other based on race or nationality or position in life was no longer valid. Paul says nothing matters but Christ. He is all and he is in all. That is all these people. Paul uses language here that could probably set most readers' teeth on edge. The Greeks were those who spoke Greek. That was a result of Alexander the Great's conquering impact and a sign of refinement and culture in that time. The Jews were exclusive in their religion and in their practice and in their history. The circumcised and the uncircumcised was Paul re-emphasizing the outward marks made in the name of religion that only served to separate people. Barbarian, well, that was a dig. The word describes those considered to be savages, and the Scythians were the worst of that bunch. Slave and free were people's ability to talked about people's ability to control their lives. The free had rights that they could demand and act on. The slave had none. But under the blanket and safety of the Church of Jesus Christ, they were all one and considered to be the same. Paul was saying that freedom had come to them all, and they all deserved the honor that comes because Christ died for them all and now lives in them all. Life doesn't come because we have subjected ourselves to some stringent new restrictions. It comes because life has been transferred to us from another source. As the qualities and the habits that do not reflect God's presence in our life are being removed and then replaced with new and living actions, the life of Christ becomes our reality and is more clearly seen in us. R.C. Sproul puts it like this. He said, the primary meaning of holy is separate. It comes from an ancient word that meant to cut or to separate. Perhaps even more accurate would be the phrase, a cut above something. When we find a garment or another piece of merchandise that's outstanding, that has a superior excellence, we use the expression that it is a cut above the rest. That's what it means by holiness. That the one who's holy is uniquely holy with no rivals and no competition. That's Jesus, but that's what's being transferred to us. This is the same thing Paul was really writing about when he wrote in Galatians 5. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's the same thinking, the changed life that begins to reflect. Paul calls it here the fruits of the Spirit, but it's the same thing he's communicating to Colossae. What an exchange. Here we are seated with Christ, in fact, seated with Christ, who is seated with the Father. Now, we've been given the privilege of seeing things from that eternal perspective. You know, from that place with the Father, Jesus can see everything. He can see the Father. He can see you. He can see me. He can see this broken world. And what he's inviting us is to do that better than 30,000 foot view of seeing what he sees in a broken and hurting world, and then inviting us to become part of what brings healing and salvation to a pretty messed up place. So at the risk of going all pastoral on you, you need to pick up your Bible and not put it down. You need to know for yourself where God wants to take you and who he intends you to be. Spend time talking to him about your opinions and whether they match his compassionate heart or not. It's a little harder in this moment to hang with people, but just the same, don't go looking solely for those people who agree with you. You'll never learn anything. Find someone who's been consistently walking with Jesus and let them speak into your life. Ask yourself, are the things I've been loading my head with moving the kingdom forward or backward? I'll guarantee you that an honest prayer out of an open heart will lead to positional living, finding your place in this new place in the heavenlies. It's a lot better than the places where we've drawn from, and frankly, in this critical moment, I don't see a solution coming outside of Jesus and his people operating on his behalf. So that's you. I'm talking with you and for you and to you this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth that I am not who I was. That, Lord, I'm not just changed, I'm transformed. And in that transformation, you have given me the ability, the in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power to begin the changing work, Lord, where I can exchange the old for the new. I can become someone I never was, and in doing so, begin to impact this world that you are so desperate to save that you gave everything for it. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves in the process, part of the solution, part of the healing. And Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Life Church. I hope you've signed up to go live with us in this week, in the week weeks ahead. It's going to be a wonderful time just being able to see some of you again. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
And again, just a great message from Pastor Tom. I always love getting to hear from him. And man, we just bless you and love you, church. Can't wait to be with you this week at the LC Live Reunion Tour. Go to lifechurchreno.com and sign up. God bless you.